And the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's really good to have you back with us. It's been a while, hasn't it? Yes, it has been a while, and we're glad to be back with you today. Excited to be back with you, to be more like it. We're here in our brand new studio, high atop the TIB building, the Truth in Broadcasting Network. And my goodness, how have you been? I am looking forward to hearing from a lot of you today. Going to get the kinks worked out of everything here. We probably run a few little snafus here and there today, but there's always gremlins in a new studio, and I guess the pros all know that. And you folks will know it, too, by the time the day's over. But we are glad to be back with you today and excited about our new show. We're going to be here every day, Friday, Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. for your listening enjoyment. We hope to bring you a lot of truth. We hope to bring you news. We hope to bring you even a little levity and entertainment from time to time. And we'll keep on doing what we always did. And we want to welcome everybody that's with us today. Both new and old time listeners. Heard from a lot of you, our old time listeners on our previous show, and they're glad to have us back. And doggone it, we're glad to be back. Let me tell you, we're very, very happy to be back with you. And again, I want to welcome you to the new Guy James Show. You don't know how glad I am to be with you again. And for a while after we went off the air last fall, I thought we might not be able to get together again, but. After cooling my heels for a couple of months, I decided we just couldn't allow those weasels over on the right to silence yet another voice on the left and then brag about it like they always do and tell everybody, the public, that there's no market for liberal progressive talk radio. Well, they're wrong about that, and yours truly and a few others intend to prove that point, and when we do, we'll probably gloat about it. We'll be here Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, with plans to expand that from 3 to 6 p.m. in the near future. And as always, my aim here is to provide you with an alternative to the right-wing nonsense being broadcast 24/7 all over this great land and beyond, day in and day out. And I know there are millions of you out there who are hungry for something other than the outrageous spin being spewed by Limbaugh and Hannity and the rest of that right-wing gang of liars and propagandists. And you know as well as I do, if truth were mandatory on those programs, there'd be nothing but silence. It'd just be dead air for 3 hours every day. And that's not to say that I'm going to sit here every day and blame all of the problems on our nation on the Republican neocons either. No, sir. As most of you know by now, if you tuned in to hear someone tote the party line, you've got the wrong guy. Because I know full well that the Democratic Party is riddled with problems right now, and I'm not afraid to admit it. And I'm also not afraid to speak out about those problems and demand accountability from Democrats in elected office. Our party has failed us for quite a while now, and we got to get off our rear ends and see that the Democratic Party addresses those problems and works toward fixing them. The Democratic Party has a grand and glorious past, and it has a set of principles and ideals that we can be proud of. We should be proud of them, but I barely recognize our party lately. And I always like to think back. I'm a Harry Truman type of guy, and what would Harry Truman say if he were here today? I think Truman, first of all, he'd be down on George Bush pretty bad, but I also think he'd be ashamed of the way our party's being run today. And I believe that if old Harry could see what was going on in the halls of Congress today, in most cases he wouldn't be able to tell the two parties apart. And what would Harry like to say to the likes of Joe Lieberman, for example? And what would he say about Bill Nelson and some of the other Democrats who only by the way, in my opinion, pretend to be Democrats so they can get elected. And frankly, the cowardice and deception being displayed by so many so-called Democrats in Congress is sickening to me. And from what I hear from so many of you, I know you agree with me. So what do we do to get the Democratic Party back on track? Is getting Democrats elected to office the fix to our nation's problems? I doubt it. I really doubt it. If we elect a bunch of them like so many of them we have in there right now, we could, you know, we could be all Democratic in the Congress and still have some of them vote like Republicans. We need to force our candidates to understand that unless they stand for and fight for the principles of the Democratic Party, unless they're committed to do that, we'll throw them out and find leaders who will be representative of the grassroots of the Democratic Party. And they need to understand that we will not stand by and watch them be purchased by big money interests like so many of them already are today. That's right, Democrats too. Big business owns the Republican Party, and they most certainly own a lot of people in the Democratic Party too. And that's got to come to a stop. That's not what we stand for. And they've got to know that if they don't do our bidding, represent us, that it's one and done for them, and we'll find someone a little bit more, you know, someone a little more suited for the job. And after listening to most of our elected Democrats in Washington, does anyone have a clear idea of what the party stands for right now? Do any of you have a clear idea? I don't think so. The primary message being voiced by the Democrats today is that they are not George Bush. I think the American public is really confused right now because they don't see a two-party system anymore, but rather one party with two names. So as Democrats, progressives, liberals, whatever you call it, you know, whatever you want to call yourself, we got a lot of work to do. And this is a time of tremendous opportunity for our nation and our party, and the American people are hungry for some qualified, competent, and there's a word that's coming up a lot lately. Have you ever had to use the word competent in a discussion about whether or not this or that man should be president? Most of them have been competent. So happens we have one right now that isn't. But we need some good old Harry Truman-style leadership, and wouldn't it be refreshing for some of our leaders to really come forth today and say, hey, we made a mistake in going along with this war in Iraq. We realize that now we're going to make things right. But they don't do that. And wouldn't it be great to hear our Democratic leaders speak with conviction about what's wrong with America today rather than cower in the corner like most of them are doing? Just take Russ Feingold's attempt to censure Bush, for example, for outright crimes against the American people. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But here we've got all the rest of the Democrats except Russ Feingold, you know, cowering over in the corner. Oh, gee, we better play it safe. We better play it safe and not join Feingold in this because we might make the Republicans mad. Well, isn't that precious? And oh, above all, let's not make those Republicans mad. My God, no, we don't want to do that. We don't want them calling us un-American again, do we? Oh, no. That scared hell out of the Democratic politicians. Remember that back at the start of the war? And they're un-American. They're un-American if they're not going. Well, guess who? Turns out they were right, weren't they? People that were against this war. Well, anyway, before I started on this tangent about what's wrong with the Democratic Party, I was saying that we're going to be here for you. We are going to be here. We're going to provide a forum for you to discuss the problems of the day, a place where you can vent your anger at both parties, and we might even provide you with some a little bit of levity now and then, a little entertainment along the way. And I promise you this, I will always do my best to bring you the truth. I'm not here to defend the party, right or wrong. I'm not into that. And when Democrats are wrong, I'll demand that they make things right again. We are the party of the people, and it's about time we show the American public our strengths as a party instead of the spinelessness and cowardice that Washington Democrats are displaying lately. So kick back, relax. We're going to have a good show for you today. We've got a lot of information coming your way. We're going to have news at the top of the hour. This is your show, and I want you to think of it that way. This is your show, and we hope you will participate. You can call us toll-free, you know, 1-866-546-5254. 1-866-546-5254. And also, you folks locally in the Washington area or the Phoenix area, you can call our Washington Bureau, 202-370-6153, or our Phoenix Bureau at 623-444-5252. A lot of numbers there, right? I had to write them down. I can't remember all those. Just too many things going on. And we want to welcome Ryan to the show. Let me put Ryan's microphone up here. And Ryan's going to be doing our news. He's going to be producing the show. Welcome to the Guy James Show, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you very much, Guy. How you doing?
Well, we're doing fine here today. Glad to get things going, making sure all the bells and whistles are working right here today.
Well, it's great to be a part of the show. Thanks for having me
on. Well, good. We're glad to have you. And he'll be doing a newscast coming up at the top of the hour and basic other producing duties here at the program today. Currently, it's 11 minutes after 3 o'clock here on the East Coast side. And get a lot of email from folks in California. I don't know why it is. We've always had a lot of listeners in California, but we do for some reason or other. And again, those phone lines, 866-546-5254. How many of you saw Dick Cheney with Bob Schieffer on Sunday morning? Oh, wasn't that a treat? Wasn't that a treat? I'm trying to think, trying to find what I did with my notes on that. I wrote down some quotes. Here it is. Yeah, they had Bob Schieffer. Bob Schieffer had Dick Cheney on there. And, you know, I just cringe every time I see that guy anyway. He is the Darth Vader of politics. There isn't any doubt about it. But Schieffer brought it up to him, about being Cheney's remark a few months back, that how we were going to be greeted as liberators when we got into Iraq. And Cheney says, well, that was basically accurate. Can you imagine, after 3 years of the hell that the American military has gone through over there, lost 2,300 men, Cheney says we're being treated as liberators? Wow. Amazing. Just absolutely amazing. I don't know how. Well, there's either something wrong with him. He's either crazy or he's a tremendous liar or he's a man that just cannot face the truth. And I think probably all three of those apply to Mr. Dick Cheney. But it's amazing to me he could sit there and say that that he was basically accurate when he said that we're going to be greeted as liberators. Wow. And how many of you remember last Thursday, this big military offensive we had going on, Operation Swarmer? Remember that? Last Thursday, Fox News, they had the graphics, they had the music, da-da-da-da-da-da, and so did CNN, and boy, it was a big deal. Biggest military offensive since the start of the war, the very biggest. You remember the day we watched Bush's first proud moment of the Iraq War on TV? You remember that scene of the angry crowd of Iraqis at the public square at Baghdad pulling down that huge statue of Saddam? You remember the commentary from the Bush people, Rumsfeld and Cheney and others? Remember him telling us that this crowd of Iraqis were so overjoyed to have Saddam gone and so grateful to the Bush administration that they pulled that statue down just to show their hatred for Saddam and their undying appreciation to their savior, to our courageous president, George W. Bush, for freeing them of that evil dictator. And do you remember how the conservative media, you know, the conservative bullhorn on Fox and talk radio, they trumpeted the whole event as a glorious day for George W. Bush and proof that they were right on this preemptive war? But oops, we find out a few days later that the whole thing was staged as a photo op, just to propagandize the American people so we'd give our support to Bush's war. Propagandize the American people. And you know what? Millions of Americans watched that little one-act play and said, gee, isn't this wonderful? We freed the Iraqi people. They love us. We've won the war. Mission accomplished. Well, it worked so well that time that Bush decided to do it again last week. And along with millions of other Americans, just like, yeah, I watched the networks, their breathless description of this massive force, Operation Swarming. You know, Fox had the special effects and the music to emphasize the importance of the whole affair. And we were shown scenes of soldiers kicking down doors over and over. It was a loop is what they had, one little loop. And surely this was the huge success against these so-called insurgents that we all been waiting for. It was just, you know, the reporters, they couldn't stand them. So, wow, the tide is turning, and maybe now we can all agree to support Bush's war. But typically for me, I smelled a rat right away. Something didn't seem quite right. Why were the only images we were seeing were that loop showing the helicopters? Remember that? Showing them lined up on that nice paved road the one I'd already mentioned about the guys kicking down the doors. And then I thought, no, I'm being a little too cynical. And then I watched Scott McClellan give an odd answer during that daily press briefing the next day. Very odd answer. Someone asked McClellan if Bush knew about this massive show of force, Operation Swarming, ahead of time. And McClellan answered, no, the president didn't know a thing about it until after the fact. And that answer, I don't know about you, but that just set off a flashing red night light for me. Are you telling me that Bush wouldn't have known until after the fact about the largest show of force since the beginning of the war? I knew that was pure, unadulterated BS. And the administration only had McClellan answer the question that way because they wanted to make it look like this wasn't some sort of a wag the dog caper. It was becoming more and more clear by the hour to me this was a publicity stunt. Pure and simple, it was a publicity stunt to drum up support for Bush's failed policy in Iraq. It was a stunt to show that the Iraqis we've been training were being trained well, and we're now ready to take over much of the duties, they were ready to take over. But this was all conjecture on my part. I didn't have any proof. I didn't have any proof at all that it was a scam until Saturday morning when I got an email from a low-level officer in the 101st Airborne, Screaming Eagles. And I'll quote from just exactly what he told me. This is a quote. This was nothing more than a big propaganda event. Not a shot was fired. There was hardly anyone in the area. We captured a few suspected terrorists, but it was soon obvious that most, if not all of them, weren't terrorists at all, but rather just local Iraqis just wanting to be left alone. He also said that they knew going in that this was what they could expect from Operation Swarmer. This is my military contract, second tour in Iraq, and he tells me that far more than half of this outfit believes that this war has been a complete waste of American military lives, a waste of American treasure, and a tragic loss of American prestige and trust amongst the Arab people. This just all points out once again that the Bush gang will do anything, and I mean anything, to promote their misguided agenda in the Middle East. This whole Iraq affair has been a disaster for the American people, and in many ways the Iraqi people as well. This all just points out once again that the Bush gang really will do anything to get their agenda the way they want it. And sadly, it points out to me that about one-third of the American people are willing to believe any damn thing this Bush gang will tell them. They'll accept any Bush administration action, no matter how phony, no matter how bizarre, no matter how devious or sinister it may be. They'll accept at face value anything that Bush will tell them. I never had any faith in the Bush administration, but I never thought I'd be saying a third of the American people are just plain hopelessly stupid. And that's what you got to be in order to believe anything that comes from the Bush administration nowadays. You have to be just hopelessly beyond hope stupid. We all know people like that, and I'm sorry that's the case. We've got friends, we've got relatives, we've all got them that fit in that category, and I'm really sad about it. I really am. I just don't know what's gonna happen with all that. It's just something very sickening to me. Very sickening to me. How many of you watched Boston Legal the other night? Did you see that? That was probably one of the better pieces of writing on Boston Legal the other night. I'm not a regular of that show. I had this pointed out to me. In fact, it's the first time I've ever seen it. I may watch it from now on after seeing what I'm about to play you here. They had a scene in here where a lady was being prosecuted for not paying her taxes, and she was not paying her taxes as a protest against the government's misdeeds. And so she was on trial. And the first part of this bit starts out with the prosecutor talking about her, and then it goes into the defense lawyer, and you'll even hear the judge come in and chastise the defense lawyer. But I want you to listen to this. I think this about sums it up. Get this queued up here just a little bit.
Clearly, she committed a crime. She didn't pay her taxes. The only question is, will you hold her accountable? Now, no doubt Mr. Shore will try to paint her some kind of activist hero. But she is no hero, folks. At a time when freedom has never been more precarious in this country, for her to refuse her civic and legal duty to pay her taxes while we have soldiers dying over there, this woman's deliberate action is as unpatriotic, as un-American as it is illegal. This is the cut-and-run behavior of a coward. Don't you dare declare her a hero.
When the weapons of mass destruction thing turned out not to be true, I expected the American people to rise up. They didn't. Then, when the Abu Ghraib torture thing surfaced and it was revealed that our government participated in rendition, a practice where we kidnap people and turn them over to regimes who specialize in torture, I was sure then the American people would be heard from. We stood mute. Then came the news that we jailed thousands of so-called terrorist suspects, locked them up without the right to a trial or even the right to confront their accusers. Certainly, we would never stand for that. We did. And now it's been discovered the executive branch has been conducting massive illegal domestic surveillance on its own citizens, you and me. And I at least consoled myself that finally, the American people will have had enough. Evidently, we haven't. In fact, if the people of this country have spoken the messages, we're okay with it all. Torture, warrantless search and seizures, illegal wiretappings, prison without a fair trial, or any trial, war on false pretenses. We as a citizenry are apparently not offended. There are no demonstrations on college campuses. In fact, there's no clear indication that young people even seem to notice. Well, Melissa Hughes noticed. Now, you might think, instead of withholding her taxes, she could have protested the old-fashioned way, made a placard and demonstrated at a presidential or vice presidential appearance. But we've lost the right to that as well. The Secret Service can now declare free speech zones to contain, control, and in effect, criminalize protest. Stop for a second and try to fathom that. At a presidential rally, parade, or appearance, if you have on a supportive t-shirt, you can be there. If you're wearing or carrying something in protest, you can be removed. This in the United States of America. This in the United States of America. Is Melissa Hughes the only one embarrassed?
Mr. Shaw, that's a chair for witnesses only.
Really long speeches make me so tired sometimes.
Please get out of the chair.
Actually, I'm sick and tired.
Get out of the chair.
And what I'm most sick and tired of is how every time somebody disagrees with how the government is running things, he or she is labeled un-American.
Evidently, it's speech time.
And speech in this country is free, you hack. Free for me, free for you, free for Melissa Hughes to stand up to her government and say, stick it.
Objection.
I object to government abusing its power to squash the constitutional freedoms of its citizenry. And God forbid anybody challenge it. They're smeared as being a heretic. Melissa Hughes is an American. Melissa Hughes is an American. Melissa Hughes is an American.
Mr. Shaw, unless you have anything new and fresh to say, please sit down. You've breached the decorum of my courtroom with all this hooting.
Last night, I went to bed with a book. Not as much fun as a 29-year-old, but the book contained a speech by Adlai Stevenson. The year was 1952. He said, "The tragedy of our day is the climate of fear in which we live, and fear breeds repression. Too often, sinister threats to the Bill of Rights, to freedom of the mind, are concealed under the patriotic cloak of anti-communism." Today, it's the cloak of anti-terrorism. Stevenson also remarked, it's far easier to fight for principles than to live up to them. I know we are all afraid. But the Bill of Rights, we have to live up to that. We simply must. That's all Melissa Hughes was trying to say. She was speaking for you. I would ask you now to go back to that room and speak for her.
Well, the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights. What does it mean to the Bush administration? Nothing. I think they've shown that over and over and over again, that the Bill of Rights means absolutely nothing to them. How many of you saw Joe DiGenova's wife the other night? What's her name? Victoria Tunsing. Did you see Victoria the other night telling everybody that American people, and I'll quote her, don't have the rights of diddly-do to know what's going on inside the government? She said that. She actually said that. This is a former federal prosecutor and high and mighty neocon, that the American public does not have diddly-do as far as rights to know what's going on inside their government. That scares me when people talk about that. It really does. I just cannot imagine someone even saying a thing like that. But I don't know. I don't know why I'm surprised anymore. I don't know why I'm surprised by it at all. These people in the Bush administration, they've had less regard for the Bill of Rights and the Constitution of the United States than anybody that I've ever known of. Nobody has ever acted in the manner they have. And the arrogance of it, the unbridled arrogance of them. And she's the perfect example of the arrogance. And I saw Bush the other day giving a speech. His arrogance. You know, when you think that this fellow... don't get me started on George Bush again. I promised myself I wasn't going to do that today. I promised myself he's just such an easy target. He's just such an easy target. You go through his whole administration. Oh, my God. Do you see now that John Ashcroft, the high and mighty Mr. Moral, has the vegetable oil on in his desk drawer so he can anoint himself with oil in his office staff with oil? He has become a lobbyist. This man that says he's the ultimate decider of right and wrong is the Attorney General of the United States of America. He gets out of that job and he starts a lobbying firm. Oh my God. How can you do that? How can you do that if you have a conscience? But it points out, once again, that these people are different. I've said that from the beginning. These people are something other. These people are not true Republicans. In fact, true Republicans, I know some true Republicans that are thoroughly ashamed of this Bush administration and have been ashamed of it from top to bottom for the entire time they've been in office. And why not? You just look through that group. You look at Karl Rove. You look at Cheney. My God. Gonzalez, the present-day attorney general, arrogant little man that he is, sits there in front of a Senate hearing and says, well, I'm not going to answer that. I'm not going to answer this. I'm not going to answer that. That's, you know, the arrogance these people have is stunning. But yet, there's still one-third of the American people that think, well, that's just fine. That's just fine. Well, we're going to take a little break here at the bottom of the hour, and we'll be back.
America, 2002. A world at war. A government of the people becomes a government of corporations. Hundreds are imprisoned without due process of law. Public policy is dictated by oil company executives. Profit becomes more important than life itself. Democracy!
Is anybody there?
Democracy!
Does anybody care about our
democracy?
Is anybody there?
Democracy!
Does anybody care about our
democracy? Democracy! Democracy! Democracy!
Will you give up the right to vote? To buy a bigger house and boat? Or will you stand up and fight for liberty? Will you let them tap your phone till your private life is known by the man who doesn't give a damn about our
democracy?
Is anybody there?
Democracy!
Does anybody care about our
democracy?
Is anybody there?
Democracy!
Does anybody care about our
democracy? Democracy! Democracy! Democracy!
Is this the silence of the lambs? Or will we fight these corporate scams?
Corporate scams!
Rise up and show them that we've got a voice.
We are the people!
Or will we be bought and sold?
Bought and sold!
Shut up and do what we're told.
Bow down to the king till we have no choice
to save our
democracy.
Is anybody there?
Democracy!
Does anybody care?
You're not my king.
So just who appointed you king of this country?
I'm not your pawn.
We're not pawns to be played like fools.
Dead.
It's not a dictatorship or a monarchy.
Truth
no, this country belongs to we, the people.
Democracy.
Is anybody there?
Democracy.
Does anybody care about our
democracy?
Is anybody there?
Democracy.
Does anybody care about our
democracy? Democracy! Democracy! Democracy!
Ah yes, democracy. What's left of it? That's what I want to know. Seemed like it being chipped away. A little here, a little there. A little more Patriot Act here, a little more Patriot Act there. I think democracy, well, that's how it goes. It never goes all at once, does it? No. It disappears a little at a time, a little here and a little there. And it's happening right before your eyes, my friends. A lot of you know it. A lot of you know it. And what thing is, what are we going to do about it? Now, I think the only thing we can do about it is elect people who are willing to do something about it. Elect people who will be true representatives of the people. You know, many, many years ago, an old high school chum of mine ran for state office. And he became a state senator. And his voting record just didn't stack up after a while. Oh, yes, he was a Republican, but that tells you something. But anyway, his voting record just didn't seem to go along with the will of the people at all. And I called him one day and I said, and by the way, he's a Supreme Court Justice of Ohio now. He's one of the Ohio Supreme Court Justices. I called him and said, Paul, the way you've been voting lately, I know it doesn't represent the voice of the people. I know it doesn't. I'm out here. I talk to people. I know even in your own community, you in no way are representing the people. And I got the most amazing interpretation. It was the first time I've heard it from an elected person. I've heard it many times since from elected people. He said, look, I was sent there as a representative. Yes, to represent the district. But I was sent there to decide what I think is good for the state, not what the people think. Now, I don't know about you, but that just rubs me a little bit the wrong way. I think that our representative, and I'd like to know what you think about that. I think our representatives in Congress should be there for no other reason than to be a mouthpiece of the people or the people they represent. I don't think they are there to put their views to the forefront. I think they're there to represent you and me. I don't know. There's people who disagree with me on that. Certainly not a lot of elected people disagree with me on that. So, you know, it's just one of those things that I'd like to know what you think about it. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I'll get it right here sooner or later. And you can give us a call. That's toll-free. And we'd love to have you give us a call. We've got the Washington Bureau, 202-370-6153. And the Phoenix Bureau, 623-444-5252. No, you're welcome to give us a call. We're going to have our guest on in just a moment, and we're going to talk about some of these renegade Democrats who are not voting the will of the people. We know so many of them are not. There's a group called the Blue Dog Democrats, and we're going to talk specifically about them in just a couple of minutes. Do we have our guest on the line? I'll just pop this up here right now, and we're going to have Mr. Dick Nojay. Dick, are you with us?
Yes, Guy, I'm here, and welcome back, and it's good to have you back, and thanks for having me on your show.
Well, it's good to have you with us today. We're experiencing a little...
Hello?
Oh, we've got a little phone noise coming through there. I hope that's... Do you hear that?
A little bit, but I can hear you fine.
Okay, good. You know, Dick, the reason I wanted to have you on today, I know you've been very, very... involved in a campaign up in Illinois to get a good Democrat elected. And I would really like to know, first of all, do you think that Democrat's going to get elected?
Well, we certainly hope so. And it's a very close race, and it's going to be a tough one. The primary is tomorrow. And in the 6th District of Illinois, which is currently Henry Hyde's seat. And for the first time in our history, we got a great chance to turn that district blue. Christine Sigalas ran against Hyde 2 years ago and pulled about 45% of the vote. First time anybody's ever come that close to Henry Hyde. And we kind of hoped that she accelerated his retirement so that now it's an open seat. But there's been the entrance of a... another candidate brought on by the Beltway insiders, and there was a lot of resentment in the district for that interference.
From Democrats?
Yes.
Well, Yeah.
And it's happening throughout the country. There's a number of races today, Guy, that are being challenged by Democrats because the either the incumbents or the Democrats that are being put up to run are too much of the element that is votes with the conservative Democrats, and it's been a real problem for, I think, the Democratic Party and what's happened in the last year or two with a lot of critical bills that have come across the legislature, and especially in the House.
I think a lot of these, I think a lot of the Democrats right now in no way represent the will of the Democratic voters.
Well, I think, Guy, you know, somebody said our democracy is only as strong as the effectiveness of the opposition party. And this is a check and balance that is so critical right now. And when the opposition party is no longer effective or becomes ineffective, we, in a sense, then have a one-party system. And that's what really concerns me. Right now, I don't know if a lot of the viewers, I mean, the viewers or the listeners are aware of the fact that I think most of the Democrats out there realize that we can take back the House in November with 15 votes. And, yes, that does result in six or eight key committee chairs, people like Nancy Pelosi and John Conyers and Barney Frank and Charles Rangel. They'll be committee chairs for some very important committees. And that 15 votes is very critical for whether we can take back our country. Whether we can take back our party is another thing. And what's been happening over the last year with the critical bills that have come through the House is that we have been giving back to Bush on a silver platter all these bills that we could have defeated if the Democrats had the party loyalty or the Democratic voting loyalty that the Republicans have. And kind of what I'm referring to mostly is the what we call the Blue Dog Democrats.
Dick, you sent me some literature on the Blue Dog Democrats that is just, well, it's amazing. How about going into a little bit of that for our listeners? I bet a lot of people aren't aware of something.
Well, we've got about 40 to 50 Democrats in the House that almost consistently vote with the Repubs on critical bills. And an example of that, actually the analysis shows that we have to not only bring 15 new Democratic House members in, but we've got to bring a total of about 55 in order to truly have the majority that we need. Even if we had the committee chairs, right now we're not getting we wouldn't get the bills passed. And the irony of it is that we could have stopped these bills from being passed in the last year even without the committee chairs. For the bill that people could analyze if they want to go to the clerk of the House Gov website, and they can look up the CAFTA bill last July and this heinous immigration bill that was passed in December. The Patriot Act that still doesn't provide the protections we need that was just passed 2 weeks ago. And then on the heels of that, the National Uniformity Food Label Act, which people don't really appreciate, that's going to lower the standards at a federal level so that even labels like the Harvest for Humanity blueberry label that's grown and picked in the USA by workers paid a living wage probably won't be able to be used anymore because states and local municipalities and local growers won't have the option of having a label with that kind of a message. But every one of those four bills, Guy, would have been defeated. Because in every case, we had Republican crossovers, anywhere from 13 to 27 Republican reps voted against those bills. And every case, if the Democrats would have had the party loyalty voting record, then we could have defeated all of them. Across the board, the Republicans in Congress have a party loyalty rating of about 95%. The non-Blue Dog Democrats are up in the high 80s, close to 90. So we do kind of, you know, have that balance. But the Blue Dog Democrats, which are about 40 to 60, depending on how you characterize them. Some belong to a Blue Dog Coalition, some don't. Their party loyalty record is only 50%. And that has been the reason why those bills got passed. So I think what we're really up against is understanding that we not only have to replace Republicans with Democrats, but we've got to increase the Democratic voting loyalty. And if we can't get the Blue Dogs to change how they vote, even with the pressures coming from Nancy Pelosi and others that have attempted to talk to these folks to no avail, but I think we've got to go back to the grassroots and say, and it's happening all over the country. It's certainly happening in Southwest Florida. We've got more people involved in Democratic clubs than ever before, and it's especially true up in the Chicago area as well. And go back to the grassroots and say, we've got to challenge these Blue Dogs in the primaries, either this year or in 2008, with candidates that will be contrasting and clear and solid and unwavering and give voters a clear choice.
Well, I just don't think Dick, around the country we're hearing enough of this. Of course, the DNC wants to keep it quiet. The DNC, I think, right now, and I'm sorry to a lot of my Democratic friends if they don't like it, but I'll say it anyway. Well, we're having a little phone trouble here.
I can hear you now.
Okay. I'm not sure where that's coming from. I just think a lot of the folks in the DNC are wanting to keep things, keep the status quo in place. They're more than happy to do that just so that we can keep reelecting people over and over and over again, who aren't effective.
Well, I have to go back to Howard Dean again, who's wrote the book, We Have the Power, and I think he's been pretty well silenced in the DNC, and we need to go back before Kerry, and we need to go back to where the primary presidential campaign was, and pick up where we left off in Iowa when Howard Dean was doing so well, and the reason for that is that he raised $44 million on the internet with grassroots people that were involved, people that took the time to understand the issues. And I think we pick up where we left off, and maybe we won't have Howard back until he's off the DNC, but we can still rally around other great progressive and contrasting candidates, certainly a guy like Russ Feingold who has the courage to stand up and be counted, and there's a lot of others out there like that as well.
Well, we certainly hope that we'll start hearing people speak up around the country for some of these folks. You know, I didn't like, personally, what took place in Ohio. I thought we had a great candidate there, and I thought our House members should have stayed in the House, and maybe a new guy running for the Senate would have been the thing to do, but I guess the party decided otherwise.
Well, we just lost this race, another one in Texas with Rodriguez, and that was an important one. The Progressive Democrats of America is one particular group that is trying to back what I consider to be the traditional Democratic candidates that will represent a clear and contrasting choice for the voters. And the voters are looking for that. They don't want centrist Democrats. This is the target, the favorite target of the Republicans, because they can beat the straddlers and the wafflers and point out the fact that these centrist Democrats want it both ways and on both sides of the fence. It just really weakens our approach. So a lot of people either vote for what they think is a clearer choice or they stay home. And we've got to give them a clear choice everywhere we can. And that's a Democrat that's traditional, that's solid on the issues. People like Christine Pagalis, they're unwavering on key issues like the war and redeployment and choice and women's rights and minority rights and single-payer health insurance and education. These are critical issues that we just cannot be – we have to be unwavering, and that's what the candidates need to stand for.
And that election's coming up today.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Tomorrow. I keep thinking it's Tuesday. Why am I thinking that? What are you expecting?
Well, we're expecting a Christine Sigala's victory. It's going to be an uphill battle because, you know, she's up against a hand-picked candidate. A similar situation occurred 2 years ago in the adjoining district where Rahm Emanuel selected a candidate by the name of Melissa Bean, and in a Republican district that she won. She finally knocked out Phil Crane, who was right next door to Henry Hyde. And but over the last 2 years, her voting record has been atrocious, absolutely atrocious. I mean, she was one of the swing votes on CAFTA, on this Patriot Act that required a two-thirds vote. It only won by two votes. If you look at it from that perspective, and Bean and Emanuel, both from Illinois, Rahm Emanuel, the head of the DCC, voted for that Patriot Act and pushed it over the top. It's mind-boggling when you look at why these people are voting the way they are, and I'm afraid that it's the disconnect between what the grassroots people out in the field are saying and what they're looking for and what the Beltway insiders are saying. You're not going to choose the candidate, we are. And that's the battle around the country right now in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Illinois, Texas. So who's going to select the candidate? Are we going to do it, or are we going to let the party continue to do it?
Well, there we are again. You know, I don't think Emanuel's doing that great of a job, and I'd like to see somebody replace him. We're hearing that all around the country. And, you know, hey, he's in charge, and somebody with a different idea is going to have to come along and do the job other than Rahm Emanuel. He's too old-time DNC for me.
Well, I agree with you, and it's really going to require the people to write the letters and organize at the Internet level, continue to have the Democratic clubs locally and throughout the country speak up with grassroots support and do that letter writing, telephone call campaign. I think if enough of us bombard Washington and some of the Senate leaders and Nancy Pelosi about Emanuel's less than pearly leadership, that we can get another choice there.
Right, right. Well, I sure hope so. Dick, I'm sure we're going to get together pretty soon and talk about this some more. I know you're speaking someplace tonight, and I am too. We're going opposite directions tonight. I would like for you to take just a moment and tell my listeners what it is that you do in Southwest Florida. I'm awfully proud of what you do, and I know you don't ever toot your own horn, so I'm going to put you on the spot and make you tell my listeners right now what it is you're doing here in Southwest Florida.
I appreciate that, Guy. When we operate as activists for the Democratic Party, we have to take off our Harvest for Humanity hat. But putting that back on for the moment, Florence and I came from, my wife Florence and I came from Illinois, Chicago area, and after I sold my engineering company up there to the employees, full employee stock ownership plan, we developed an affiliate for Habitat for Humanity in DuPage County, where Christine Sigalis is running tomorrow in that election, and turned it over to new leadership and came to Southwest Florida and came to a place called Immokalee and never looked back. And what we found in Immokalee was third world poverty and two glaring conditions, one of lack of decent housing for lower income, middle income folks who are leaving Immokalee, and poor job-paying jobs in agriculture. So we decided to start Harvest for Humanity and build a new blueberry farm, which would pay living wages, and we label our products that way. At least we hope we can continue to do that. And we built an 89-home subdivision or neighborhood called Jubilation. And a lot of our workers live in Jubilation, own homes here. It's been an opportunity for families to have ownership and a safe and secure and wonderful place for them to raise their kids. But more than that, it's been a spark plug for Immokalee. We've got a whole new 1,000-home subdivision going across the street, called Arrowhead Reserve. We've got other growers and people that are looking at the benefits of paying decent wages, and that's only half the equation. The other half is for you and I, Guy, and all of our listeners to pay 10% more for fair food, and which is, differentiates our food as safe USA grown and by workers paid fair and decent wages. if we can differentiate our food in the marketplace, we can eliminate poverty in agriculture in the United States, at least in the area of migrants. And this all touches on the whole immigration issue, immigration reform, because these folks have been here a long time. They do a great job. And the workers, most of the growers want these people to continue and come back each year instead of bringing in new people every year. But they can't do it if they can't pay fair wages. And they can't pay fair wages unless they get a fair price. So the whole CAFTA issue was so critical to us. And to see people like Melissa Bean up by near us and Bill Nelson down here vote for that thing was really atrocious, and because it destroys everything we're trying to do and everything that's decent about keeping jobs here and paying people decent wages and eliminating poverty like John Edwards talks about all the time. Well, this is one good way to do it.
It sure is.
So we've been here for the last 8 years and have most of the things that we wanted to do pretty well completed, and we want to start writing our books, Guy, and we want to start traveling more to Washington, and if we get this house back in November, we're going to be working hard for tax credit legislation for growers so they can pay decent wages and fair food labeling for the marketplace, which will be all uphill battles compared to where we're going now. But that's why addressing this whole Blue Dog issue was so important for the Democrats. Because
sure
we've got
is.
To get the party loyalty, the voting loyalty back, and then we can take back our vote, take back our party, and take back our country.
You know, Dick, I just want to tell our listeners that I have seen your operation. I'm going to see a little more of it in the future at actual harvest time. But, folks, you cannot get a grasp of what Dick is talking about the wonderful housing and the whole operation that this is. It's just a fantastic operation. And the first time I saw it, I didn't have any words to describe it. I went away from it in awe of what you have done in Immokalee, Florida.
Thank you so much, Guy. We really appreciate that. And we're, you know, just like you said, it's a good time of the year. We're starting to harvest in a couple of weeks, and people can come out and see the operation and in Immokalee and pick blueberries, fresh blueberries, and have blueberry pancakes for lunch and whatever. We have a cafe and a store and plug it a little bit.
Yeah,
so,
it's a nice place. Dick, I want to thank you so much for being on the program today. We've got similar goals for things that need to be done in the Democratic Party, and I know we'll both keep working on it. Dick Nojay, thanks so much for being our guest today.
I just want to close just with a few words from Christine, okay?
Yes.
And Christine Segal's words to our folks down here in Southwest Florida is that her campaign and what she says the campaign is all about is that we will not stand for policies that put corporations before people, that put businesses before the environment, and that cater to special interests instead of to the dreams and needs of Americans like you and me. Christine Segalas.
That certainly sums up what a Democrat ought to be.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dick.
All right, thank you, Guy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Dick Nojay, gentleman, like I said, has got a wonderful, wonderful place here with this Harvest for Humanity. I wish you could all see it. I really do. It's quite an amazing thing to see. Hey, we're coming up. We've got people on the phone. We're just going to ask you to hang on for a moment or two. We're going to stop for news at the top of the hour in just about 1 minute. I think Ryan's been working feverishly on getting the news ready for it. He's typing his fingers to the bone over there in the control room, and he's going to have a newscast for you. And I want to thank everybody once again that helped get this all ready for today. I want to thank Sean, our phone guy. I want to thank Ben Birch. So many of my listeners know who Ben Birch is at the WhiteRoseSociety.org. I want to thank Bob Kincaid of Head On Radio. Bob's given us a lot of excellent technical advice. Greg at Graybeard Design with our website. And I think I already said Sean at the phones and Bob Ladd with the engineering. This has been quite a trek up the mountain, I must tell you, getting the engineering and all that done with something like this. So I want to thank all those folks, and we'll be talking more about each and every one of them a little bit later. But right now, we're going to pause for news. That's right, because you always have to believe what he says.
Yeah, he's always right. Always right. He was also added on Sunday, doing the same thing. Opinion column wrote, an opinion piece, Washington Post, Rumsfeld stated that went out of Iraq now, post-war Germany. Another news around the nation, Washington House of Representatives. Fewest number of days Harry Truman election. First time they're asking for an offer. Latest in schedule innovation. In New Orleans, two more bodies have been found in the devastating north from Hurricane Izzy. Over 11. Travelers, be mindful of a late storm. 2 feet of snow is expected in the Dakotas. All fans out there, afternoon. Health Commissioner has a big deal, which pretty well. Paul Tagliabue says he will. For the closing bell, the New York Stock Exchange. Currently, it's 82 degrees, the beautiful Guy James, Girl, Florida. I'm Ryan Rounds. Back to Guy James.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Oh, you betcha, baby. We're back. Back after the news. All the news that fit the print and more. That's right. Thank you, Ryan. Thanks for getting the news in there today. Welcome. Welcome back to the show. Awfully glad to have all of you with us this afternoon. I'm informed we're having a little problem with our phones. I don't know what that's all about after all the trouble we went to get them right. So keep trying to call in. I guess some of you were getting a voicemail, and I know that's been deactivated, so I don't know what's up with that. We'll have to check with the technicians. But right now, we've got one of our favorite callers on the line. Are you with us? All right, I think we got Juanita with us. Juanita, are you with us?
Yes.
Well, it's nice to hear from you.
And welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good to hear a familiar voice.
I had trouble with voicemail also.
Did you? You got voicemail too?
Yeah, for about 40 minutes.
You know? Oh.
And then your news didn't broadcast.
Oh, it didn't?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my. Well, we're just having a good time today,
aren't we? You did when you spoke. And I don't know if I'm broadcasting or not, but
yes, you are loud and clear.
Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to welcome you back. I'm so thankful for you being back, and missed you so much. And there's so much going on. There's just too much to talk about right now.
Well, you know, in just the short time we were off the air, Juanita, there's just been an avalanche of stuff out there.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there has. But I just wanted to say about the Democrats, please be Democrats. Get out if you're not a Democrat. But think about in the year 2000 of the Democrats that voted for and stood up for Bush.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Including Crawford, who was the Secretary of Agriculture.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes, indeed.
He's from Winter Haven, I believe.
That's right. Oh.
Yeah. And anyway, you know, after all that happened, he went to a private job.
Probably. Well, what did I just read the other day? One of the Florida's agricultural, I don't know what they call it in the Florida cabinet here, the guy head of agriculture here in Florida, he's taking a job with one of the largest growers in Florida. So that's just how it goes, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Right. And anyway, that's what I want. I want the Democrats to be Democrats. And I'm tired of this bipartisanship. All they do is kick us down when when our party tries to be bipartisan. They just kick us down, and they don't, you know, it's like a battered woman.
Yeah, I think that's a great comparison, Juanita.
Yes, I do too.
They think if they're nice to these Republicans that next time around, you know, and all they do is go after them and to get these turncoat Democrats out of office, so they haven't gained a thing.
And you know, be forewarned about any of the Republicans that you think are coming around. I mean, consider Specter and McCain. I mean, they're both. It's just so two-faced. You know, you don't know what to believe when they. Anything that they say.
That's for sure.
In my opinion.
I couldn't agree more. And
mm-hmm.
we just, you know, I think the secret is this next time, not only just in the midterms, but when it comes around to the general election once again for president, we've got to make absolute sure this time that we've got a candidate that average Joe and Sally American out there can identify with, somebody that speaks to them. And someone that's not put in office, trying to be put in office with big money.
That is so true. True words have never been spoken.
You know, Juanita, I think a great analogy is one time, and I know some of my friends listening will know who I'm talking about. But many years ago, I was in business in a little town up north, as we like to say around here now. And I landed a big account, what I thought was a big account. And it amounted to like a couple hundred bucks a day in those big
yeah,
money,
well,
you know.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget the local druggist sitting there telling me, he said, no, you don't want to count on those big accounts. You want to count on the people that come in your store and spend a dollar every day. Those
That's
are
right.
the ones that will stay with you. And if you lose one or two of them, you're still fine. But
uh-huh.
if the big account walks out, if you get depending on the big account and they walk out the door, you're in trouble. And so it is with politics as well.
And that's the truth.
These people get the big money. They need to depend on us who
uh-huh.
can give them all $10 instead of, you know, the huge contributions.
And that's what Howard Dean is trying to do.
Exactly.
He's being knocked for that.
And I think he's doing a good job of it.
Raising money the correct way.
He's raising money. He's doing a good job of raising money, and he's doing it, you know, the right way, a few bucks
right,
at a time.
Right.
And I'm awfully glad of that. When
I'd like to say one more
yeah,
thing.
Why, most
that,
certainly.
That gentleman from Immokalee.
Yes.
God bless him.
Well, he's a fine
oh,
fine man.
Oh, it's heartening to hear something. I recall you saying something about them before, but I had forgotten about it.
Yes.
But I thank you for bringing it to my mind, and I appreciate it. Appreciate him so much.
Well, thank you.
People, I admire people like that. That's the kind of people we need all around, you know.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Juanita, good to
and
hear
you
from
too.
You.
And you too.
Thank
you,
you so much.
Oh.
All right, we're gonna go to Diane in North Fort Myers. Hi, Diane, are you with us?
Hey, you are such a pleasure. I am so glad you're back, but I can't get you on my internet. I don't know why.
Oh, I don't know why either.
I don't know. I'm gonna call my company and find out why. But I wanted to just welcome you back, and I wanted to. Talk to you today, if I could, about Mr. Bush's earlier speech at Cleveland. I don't know if you got to hear it or not.
Oh, yes.
Live.
Oh, yes.
Oh, gee. Okay, did you pick up on how he's talking about the war on terror? Okay, if he's doing this, I would like to know why only 5% of our cargo coming into our ports are still inspected. Why only 1% of our beef that comes to our dinner table overnight is inspected. Why is the border still wide open? Why are there 30 million illegals in here walking across the borders bringing who knows what diseases in on us? Come on. Why is our nuclear waste dumps not guarded? Why is our nuclear power plants very, very poorly guarded? You know, our water supplies are wide open. I mean, you could just go on and on and on and write a novel about it. Yet he's fighting a war on terror when they even took explosives through airports the other day on the airlines.
Right.
You know, I mean, who's this guy fooling?
Yeah, what was it, 21 different places they went around the country?
Oh, yeah. No problem at all. So, you know, where's everybody come across feeling safer with George Bush at the helm? You know, people need to wise up here and think about that.
They sure do. And I you know what, Diane, I'd be interested to know about your friends. I'm hearing from a lot of people who... I'm hearing from a lot of people who just have given up on Bush. They've been Republicans, and they just don't want anything to do with him anymore.
Well, I keep, right now, I'm blogging with a little newspaper from my hometown of Wheeling, West Virginia. And up there, at first, when I first started blogging on there, right after Christmas, it was solid Republican. And since I've been on there since Christmas, it's come down to where maybe there's only two Republicans left. And they are diehards, but now they're getting to where they won't even answer my blogs because they're not able to.
Oh, man.
You know, so people are starting to think and open up. He is going to Wheeling, by the way, good old Georgie. And I don't know if you've ever been to Blog the Valley. That's in Ohio Valley.
Oh, yes.
Wheeling, West Virginia. It's on the Internet. And The Intelligence, their newspaper, well, that's a .net, and you can go on there and blog. And it goes with the newspaper. But I'm on there every day. They have poll lines, and I'll ask a question. Like today, it's when will you get out of Iraq, and it has how many years? Well, finally, everybody's putting over 5 years. You know, back around Christmas time, it was like 1 year. You know, people are starting to wake up.
Sure. Well, I had to sooner or later, didn't
and
they?
You know why? It's because of people like you, God, James, that's absolutely keeping people informed. You know, it's really hard to find the truth nowadays because it's all such slanted, big corporate-owned media. And they go according to what their stockholders are going to benefit from. And that's the stories that you'll get in the slant on it. I don't know if you watched 60 Minutes the other night, last night, with about the climate change and where it was that scientist named Hansen, and he had been being censored by the government, the Bush administration, would not let him talk about his findings, and that this is happening to all kinds of our scientists nowadays, that they're even rewriting science so that we are not getting the truth.
Sure.
So we need people like you. I mean it, or we're not ever going to hear the truth.
Diane, thanks for calling. We appreciate hearing from you. Good to hear your voice again.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yes, that's right. They are rewriting science. Some of these fundies, you know how I like to talk about the fundies. I heard one the other day in a spirited discussion talking about how the Earth was no older than 6,000 years. And we've got proof that the world isn't over 6,000 years. You know, when I hear people talk like that, I think, I guess we can take all the carbon dating, technology and just throw it out the window. It doesn't mean a thing. I don't know. Hey, we're going to play a little something for you to have a little fun with here coming up. And I think you'll enjoy this. We'll be back right after this.
Cowboy! Welcome to George Bush National Park, where the air smells just like diesel. And there ain't no animals left around here except snakes, skunks, rats, and weasels. Now we ain't got no waterfalls or rivers. This environmental stuff gives us the shivers. And we don't need Yellowstone or Carlsbad Cavern. Cause all the wildlife we need is in the tavern. So welcome to George Bush National Park, where the air smells just like diesel. And there ain't no animals left around here except snakes, guns, rats, and weasels.
sure kicked the ass out of the Constitution. And we made sure our skies were pure pollution. Well, we made the EPA sit on its tushes. And you can't see the forest for the bushes. Well, you ain't got to worry about barking up the wrong tree. We ain't got no trees left to bark up. We ain't got no limit on the hunting you. Left is you. So set your tent right up there on the asphalt. We ain't got no grass or filthy soil. Cast your fishing line into the manhole and catch yourself a salmon full of oil. Welcome to George Bush National Park, where the air smells just like diesel. And there ain't no animals left around here except snakes, skunks, rats, and weasels. No, there ain't no animals left around here except snakes, skunks, rats, and weasels.
Boys. Hey, I'll be glad to have you with us this afternoon here on the Guy James Show. I do want to remind everybody we're in a brand spanking new gorgeous studio here today, and it's not without its little gremlins going on. Give us a day or so, we'll get all that worked out, and just we'll have perfection then on our hands, won't we? So, yeah, you know, it's one of those things that no matter how hard you try, no matter how many experts you have in, no matter how well you think you've got it, there's always a little something that gets into the wiring someplace. So fear not. We'll get all that fixed up in very, very short order. You can give us a call at 1-866-546-5254. 546-5254. That's an 866 toll-free number. So you can call us. I want to say hello to all of my friends on the Democratic Underground website. My gosh, there's a lot of them on there today. A lot of them listening. They let me know during the program that they're listening. I want to say hello to all you folks. I'll just go down through the list of them. You know, they all got nicknames when they're on the internet. We got Tom West Virginia. We've got Cat Shrink, Greg D, Bozita, Blue State Native Soup, Roland 99. Who else we got? Florida Dem 5, MDMC. I'm trying to list them as I go down here. Helder Hyde and SF. Pat 2000. There's a whole bunch of them on. I can't read them all, but glad to have all you folks with us. It's amazing technology we're using here now. You know, you can literally do a radio program from any place in the world to any place in the world right now, and have it be excellent quality. So it's something that's new to me. A lot of this technology is brand new. I'm used to sitting in an old time radio station, and I think that probably the day's coming when studios like that, well, there won't be anybody in them. They're having all these syndicated programs now, and studios across the regular terrestrial radio studios across the country are pretty much empty nowadays, except for an occasional morning show. So it's a demise of what used to be good radio. I really mourn the loss of good local radio. It's gone. It's probably gone forever, and the syndicators have done that. There was nothing like getting the flavor of a local community than on local radio. But now you tune in the afternoon, you hear somebody, you know, you hear a drug addict on there, for example, Mr. Limbaugh, whom we all know is got a drug-addled brain that soaked it in, well, you've heard me talk about him before. And Mr. O'Reilly lately, oh my God. What has happened to Bill O'Reilly? Now, he was half nuts to start off with. We all knew that. We all knew, what is this loofah thing going on, right? You know, all these sex tapes that he had out that he got caught with these hand in a cookie jar or maybe other places. And, there he is. I'm never going to talk about that again. So if you get in trouble like Bill O'Reilly, you get into an embarrassing situation, all you got to do is have your network pay somebody $10 million to shut their mouth and say, I'm never going to talk about it again. You know, that didn't work for Bill Clinton. It just didn't work for Bill Clinton. I wonder what would have happened if Bill Clinton, when he got impeached, I wonder if he just would have stepped up and said, you know what, when they ask him a question, I refuse to answer that. I'm not going to talk about that. That's a private matter. But instead, oh, no, he gets himself sworn in and has to spill his guts about the whole thing, and what a catastrophe that turned out to be. You know, all around the country, there's all these self-righteous people. Say, oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. That's terrible. He lied. He lied under oath. Well, that his mistake was getting under oath, as far as I'm concerned. You see, these weasels who are in power right now, they, although I hate what they stand for, I have to admit, they've almost all been smart enough to keep from getting put under oath. That's the secret. If you have a presidential administration, the first dictate that you should pass out to everybody should say, absolutely, do not get yourself put under oath no matter what. No matter what, avoid that at all costs. If any of you are threatened with being under oath, well, talk to Karl Rove. I'll give you his number, and he'll make sure that. But don't do it. And Clinton should have done that as well. I don't know for sure if he could have avoided that. But, you know, I even hear guys, hey, I'm a guy. I've been there. maybe I shouldn't say this, but I don't know, maybe one guy out of 1,000, maybe, wouldn't have lied about that. I mean, you're standing there, they've got the goods on you, you know they got the goods on you, and your wife's standing 3 feet away, and what do you, well, no, I didn't do that. Of course I, what, no, I mean, I don't know. I don't really don't know. I don't think I've known one guy in my life that would have stood up and said, well, yeah, yeah, I did, and, oh, yeah. Now, the girls may not like to hear me say that, but that's how it is. I've always said, and people that know me know I've said this, that if you girls knew what we guys were really like inside our heads, if you knew what we're really like, particularly when from the age of about 20 to 40, if you knew what we were like, you would not have a thing to do with us, ever. You wouldn't go near us if you knew what really goes on inside our brains. And, well, anyway, how did I get started on that? I didn't need to go there, did I? No, the whole studio audience says, no, you didn't need to go there. But it's the truth. It is the truth. And I also want to pass on, I had people send me an email wanting to know if I'd gotten any good email lately. You know, because they thought on our first show coming back that we'd probably have a little bit of Republican love. For our new listeners that are with us today, we do a segment on our show called A Few Minutes of Republican Love. And we put a nice little, some meaningful music on in the background and read some letters we get from our admirers. And I say that with tongue in cheek. And I only got one this week, and I'm trying to see what I did with it here. I got it. Oh yeah. And it was short, and it was to the point. I only got, of course, we'll start getting them on a regular basis now. But this one here is just short and to the point, and I like it that way. Because I've got a lot of experience with hate mail. A lot, believe me. And I even gave a tutorial on one of our shows a few months back on how to write good hate mail. Because some of you need some help. But now this guy right here, I like this. I like this because it's short, it's exactly to the point, you know, he gets on the point, he gets off of it, and it's goodbye. Well, he didn't say goodbye, and he didn't give a very nice salutation either, but I understand this piece of a hate mail here, it's perfectly understandable, and so here it is. This is the only one this week. We'll have these, we'll probably have quite a few of them next week. You effing liar. We got rid of you once, but just like cockroaches and rats, you keep coming back. Well, there you go. Now, does anybody not know what he's saying there? Ryan, do you not know what he's saying there?
I got a good idea. Yeah, I mean, you know, I could see the one finger salute coming from that letter. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, he didn't leave you guessing.
No, not at all.
There is no doubt where he's going with it.
No doubt whatsoever.
So that's a good piece of hate mail
there. That's quality hate mail.
It is
quality.
It is. Yeah,
quality.
So, and I want to tell everybody, it was my fault that Ryan's news didn't quite get going there. I flipped the wrong switch there. Ryan, I was going to try and make it be all your fault.
Right.
And I'd give you like an inferiority complex or something.
Right. Yeah. Couldn't do it, huh?
And you just stayed up all night tonight worrying about it.
Yeah.
And but I did it. It was my fault. And people should know better than to trust me.
Well, it's a shame because Juanita mentioned the Cleveland speech that Mr. Bush gave this morning to the City Club of Cleveland. And that was my lead story.
Well,
and it's a shame she missed
since
that.
Since I've deprived you and of your lead story,
okay,
can you go back and go over it again?
Let me go back and find it, and I will.
It's your shining moment in the sun.
It was. It really was. And I'm hurt, guy. I'm hurt.
I can tell.
My feelings are hurt. But you're giving me an opportunity to make it up, so I'm going to make it up.
This is human theater here. We have a man who truly is hurt. I can see it in his face. I can see the pain.
I am hurt. Well, okay, this is for Juanita and the other caller called in. You did mention the Cleveland Clinic, and I'll repeat my story
Clinic?
I'm sorry, in Cleveland, the City Club of Cleveland.
You know, we have a Cleveland Clinic here in Southwest Florida.
Yeah, I know
but
we
it's
do.
Been sold.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
yes,
it's been
that's
sold.
Right. Yeah.
So not going to be Cleveland Clinic anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
That's right.
Well, anyway,
okay.
I digress.
A president was at it again, trying to explain himself away for the apparent glee and overabundance of optimism that he expressed for the way Iraq is progressing forward in its attempt to establish democracy in the Middle East. And this morning he spoke to the City Club in Cleveland, claiming, in the face of continued reports about killings and reprisals, I understand how some Americans have had their confidence shaken. Oh, you don't say, Mr. Bush. Well, in his rebuttal to this statement, he told the lengthy story about Operation Swarmer and how it went in to Tal Afar and removed the insurgents using murder and intimidation to control the people of Tal Afar, and pretty much basically said that the city is now rid of those insurgents, thanks to the combined military might of the Iraqi forces and our own U.S. military. But, Guy, as I asked you at the top of our news, how many people they claim to have captured?
About 37, I think it was.
30, that don't sound like much.
And they let most of them go the first day.
Right, and like 1,500 troops or something like that was used, 50 helicopters.
That's right.
Some outrageous 30, I don't know, I think our local police department arrests that many people every day.
But you know Fox did it upright, though. They always
I turn over to
Fox just to see what the hell they're up to when they put out some of this news, because they've got a guy there someplace in the Fox studios, you know, right away with the graphics and the music, you know, that very dun-dun-dun-dun, that real sound, serious sound of music. But I have to ask you about your newscaster, that story you just gave me there.
Yeah.
I noticed that halfway through, and I'm assuming you're using wire services for your sources.
I use many sources.
Yeah,
many sources.
But I noticed right in the middle of it, you interjected, you don't say Mr. Bush.
Yeah.
I read that script? Is that on there somewhere?
No, it's not. I ad-libbed the script for the purpose of this.
The thing is,
segment.
You're carrying on the great tradition of Walter Winchell and guys like Walter Cronkite and everything.
Oh, no,
do you
no.
think Walter Cronkite would have stopped right in the middle of the news and said, you don't say, Mr. Bush?
If he had an honest bone in his body, he would have, yes. Well, if he was honest about his newscasts, he would have.
Maybe if you had a professional bone in your body,
oh,
that hurts.
Oh, God.
But you know what? We don't want you to give that kind of news. We want you to give the real news.
I didn't think so. I
and
thought you
what,
wanted
that's
you
what
wanted
you
a little.
Don't say, Mr. Bush. I thought that was a nice touch.
That's what I figured. You didn't want just a cut and dry newscast.
No.
Everybody gives a cut and dry newscast. There's no reality to that. I can report the facts all day long if you want me to. But what good are the facts without a little opinion to
it? I like that guy on CNN. What's his name? Jack Cafferty in the afternoon. He's not afraid to throw in.
Yeah.
You know, if he's feeling something, he'll say it. And I like that.
Well, you know, we've got Creative News Network, Fictional News Network, and, you know, mostly Sucky News Network out there, so hey.
You would think once in a while that if the people on Fox were, you know, and I do want to pass on the fact that those of you that don't know it, that a poll was taken some, 18 months ago or so, that it figured out that 76% of the people that faithfully watch Fox News thought thought that we had found weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. So that's how well informed they are. But you would think once in a while that some Fox reporter would pick up the news that's been printed for him and hand it over to him from the news desk to the reporter, and he'd be sitting there reading the news, and about halfway through it, he'd go, "Now, just a damn minute. just once, you wish you would hear that."
You know, Geraldo Rivera's never going to do that. Have you seen some of the stuff he's done for that station, for that news network?
Geraldo is the best example of a journalist whore. That I think there could ever be.
Oh, my God. I don't know. A few years ago, when I think Palestine and Israel were at the heat of their current conflict, now 3 or 4 years ago.
Were they now?
This was 3 or 4 years ago.
I'm sure.
And they had him on location in Palestine at an insurgent hideout where Israel was getting ready to clean these people out of here. And he's like 10 foot away from these guys. And I'm thinking, if this is real, who in their right mind, A, would be here, and B, would the Israeli army really let him be that close to the action? It had to have been fake. I couldn't see it being real. It was the most fake thing I ever saw in news.
Well, what was it? Not long ago, they actually caught Geraldo faking something. Oh, it was in Katrina. He went down to Katrina and he got an interview, and here it had all been staged. They'd done a cut of it 3-4 times.
Oh, okay.
The maximum sympathy factor.
Well, he did the fake, in the Nile looking for, he did that was fake too. He got busted on that, and the Nile looking for artifacts or something like that was fake too. Well,
there are people who would look at us and go, how can you say the word Geraldo Rivera and fake in the same? There are people like that, but
amazing.
Anyway, I thank you for that news. I thought it was most enlightening, most definitely enlightening, and just something that we all needed to know. So we'll be hearing a lot of news from Ryan coming up, and the next time I won't have his microphone muted. Ah, yes, I did it. I owned up to it. See, that's what kind of a guy I am. If I tell a fat lie on this show, I'll own up to it right away. And you're no kind of a man at all if you can't own up to your mistakes. And so there you go. I'm just a hell of a man because I owned up to being stupid earlier. We're having one of those days. That's part of it. We plan to have a lot of fun on this show. We really do. We plan to educate you some, and we plan to entertain you a little bit. Although we're not, as you can tell, we're not real entertainer types. we're a little more serious type, really. And the truth, that's what we're after here, and we'll present it with a little fun once in a while. But, you know, I think depending on the demographics of what our audience is, and I know what it used to be, and it's going to be interesting to see what it is now. I think the people like to hear the truth, and I think they didn't like to hear too much levity in the program. I mean, a little break here and there with a little fun I think is a good thing, but I think a mistake that one well-known radio network is doing right now is trying to make everything funny, and they're coming at you from the left, and a lot of you are going to go, oh, there he goes talking about them, he's sour grapes. No, it's not sour grapes. That's just not my thing, and I just don't think it's a thing of a lot of folks. But, you know, we like to think it here on the Guy James Show that we have a purpose. And that purpose is to get people to listen to the truth for a change rather than swallowing every word coming out of the mouths of Pills Limbaugh and Hannity and O'Reilly and the host of others without question anything they say. And, we encourage you to check up on us. Really. I want you to do that. I'm not going to sit here and say, I might sit here and say it, that what I'm telling you is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, but you can count on it. But I want you to check it up. Check it out. I want you to do that. I absolutely implore you, I encourage you to check me out, because you're going to find out after a short time that you can trust what we have to say in this program. And that's, I promise never to lie to you to advance any kind of a point I'm trying to make. I would never do it. And I'd rather be wrong than lie about something. And we also want to cause you to question our political leaders and our political parties. And we implore you not to be so partisan that you can't look inside your own party and find out problems that, like I said at the opening of the show, that we have in the Democratic Party. Now, we've got some tremendous problems in the Democratic Party. So be able to look in your own party and see what's wrong. And you know, if you do question it, I think you'll find yourself in the same boat with me right now, because I feel abandoned by my party. I do. You know, I should explain to a lot of you, I'm a Democrat. I'm not a Democrat as defined by so many of our gutless, spineless elected Democrats of today. Not that kind at all, but rather, I like to think I'm a Democrat who lives by and practices the ideals and the principles of what's been defined as the Democratic Party for so many years gone by. My political hero, as all of you know, listen to the program, is very definitely Harry Truman. And, you know, Harry Truman, he was a true Democrat. He had the guts, and he stood steadfast, always steadfast, by the great tradition of the Democratic Party when they defended the working man and the working woman without fail. The Democratic Party at one time would not think of failing the working people of this country. Harry Truman clearly understood who was responsible for the greatness of this nation. He fully realized that the blood, sweat, and tears of the working men and the women, the common people of this country, he understood that it was because of their efforts that the United States of America grew to be admired by people all over the planet, not the fat cats. No. It was the little people that made this nation great. And guys like Harry Truman understood that, and we need for our Democratic elected leaders right now to understand that once again. And by God, I'm going to make sure that one of the things that we do on this program is push that kind of Democratic Party, because that's what I believe in. And I think most of the Democratic leaders today have forgotten about the working man and woman. They're more interested in their own welfare rather than the well-being of average Joe and Sally American. Where are the people like Paul Wellstone? You know, I choke up every time I talk about Paul Wellstone. My God, what a loss that was. I think a lot of people at the time didn't understand what a loss Paul Wellstone was to the Democratic Party. I had a lot of hopes on Paul Wellstone, and I know a lot of other people did as well. Because there's a man that just didn't give a damn about what people might say, or what the big shots in the party might say. He didn't care. He always did what was right. And you could always trust him to do right by the working man. But now, you get in the halls of Congress, and I understand some of this. I do. I don't know how to get around it. And I must admit, you know, I've been in the halls of Congress several times, and it's an aphrodisiac. There is no question about it. You get yourself an office in the Senate office building, and man, you're not going to want to leave that office. I'll promise you, you're never going to want to leave that office, ever. Those people live like kings there, and they're treated like kings. You know, I've talked, I make no bones about it, I love Ted Kennedy. I think Ted Kennedy's been one of the greatest senators that's ever lived in this country, ever. He's certainly got his personal picadillos, that you can be assured of. But Ted Kennedy has never, ever let the little guy down. Never. And, you know, regardless of what you think about the guy personally, I think he's got some bad habits and probably always has. But he's not ever let the little man down. But, you know, you walk down the halls of Congress, you see Ted Kennedy walking down the hall, and all he has to do is stick his hand behind his back and somebody slapped a pencil in it or whatever it is, put his hand back there for. They're treated just that way. And so I don't blame these people from getting elected and not wanting to leave office. I don't blame them at all. But I do blame them for not having the willpower to give it up after a while and get out. I seriously doubt that the founders of this nation envisioned professional politicians like we have today. I really think that that would have been something that they would gasp at if they could come back today, the founding fathers. You know, in that day, although there was an elite crowd, I think that the butcher, baker, and the candlestick maker were people that were supposed to be in Congress, not professional politicians. I personally think that electing representatives every 2 years is wrong. I think maybe we ought to make it 4, we ought to make it 6, give them one term and done. Make it a 6-year one term or something like that. Anything to get away from this perpetual running for office and having to raise money. That's sad. And we've heard so many of our politicians talk about that, about, you know, getting sworn in and walking to your office and picking up the phone and starting to raise money that very day. Isn't that a shame? Just think what could be accomplished in this country by our Congress, the Senate, and the House of Representatives if they didn't have to raise money for re-election. Ever. One and done. One term and out the door. Make all of our Democratic legislators sign a pledge. When we take them on to back them to run for office, you sign this pledge. One and done. But I do think we'd have to change the House of Representatives for a little bit more than 2 years, though. One Senate term of 6 years, fine. I know there are people who disagree with me on that. Everybody likes to think that their particular senator or their particular congressman is good and the rest of them are bad, but that's not how it is. But, you know, they're interested in their own skins, and I understand it in a way. But it's my position that the Republican Party has always stood for big business and the wealthy, and they have. But sadly, it's really looking more and more like many, if not most, of our elected Democrats are going down the path of accepting huge campaign contributions from the big business fat cats and then voting against the little guy in favor of those who are already rolling in dough but craving a lot more. Seem like they can never get their hands on enough. When is enough enough? What is that old saying? I'll butcher it. Enough is never enough for the man for whom enough is too little. Oh, I actually got through it. There we go. I always, but some people, it's just never enough. And, you know, there's one thing that politics means to me more than anything else. If I had to pick one phrase out of all of the United States history that means more to me than anything, and this will tell you more about my particular political philosophy than anything else, is I think the greatest phrase, and this is my personal opinion, the greatest phrase ever uttered by one of our great politicians and one of our leaders, and the man was a great leader, as Franklin Roosevelt. And Franklin Roosevelt made a saying, and I'll probably butcher it up a little bit, but he said, well, you know, we don't measure progress by how well we take care of those who have too much. We measure progress by how well we take care of those who have too little. And that really says it all for me. That's how I live. That's how I want our government to live. That doesn't mean we have to have a big, bloated government. It does not mean that at all. We have the ability in this country to see that all the hardworking people and the people who are truly disadvantaged, maybe physically or mentally or in whatever way, truly disadvantaged, have a disability. We have the means to make sure all those people can live a decent lifestyle. We have the means to make sure all those people can live in a self-respecting way. We have the means to do that. We've always had the means to do that. This is a great nation. This is a compassionate nation. But I see a change in the air. I see a change in the air in the last decade, I will say, where the rich are definitely getting richer. I know that's a tired old phrase, but it's true. They are getting very, very much richer. And the poor are getting, oh, so very much poorer. And I absolutely hate it when I hear some of these people say, oh, poor, you don't know what poor is. Yes, I do. People say, well, you know, poor people in this country have got a TV set and they've got a car. Well, I'm not going to measure the wealth of an American to somebody in Zimbabwe. No, that's not a fair comparison. The fair comparison is to measure to everybody else. And if you go out and work a 40-hour week, you put in a good day's work, you deserve a good day's pay, and you deserve to live a decent lifestyle. And that is becoming farther and farther away for more Americans. Just right here where I live, untold wealth, untold incredible wealth, a stone's throw from where I'm sitting right now. I'm talking serious wealth. And, you know, they just keep getting richer and richer and richer, and yet the school teachers around here and the average guy around here can't afford to buy a house anymore. There are people here working 2-3 jobs just to afford a house payment. What's going to happen someday? What's going to happen someday when the houses are so, and that day is here now. What's going to happen to our kids? What kind of school teachers are we going to get here and many other places in this country when people who toil at what I think is the most respected profession, school teachers, I think they deserve to make more money than anybody. But what are we going to do when we no longer can get teachers of any quality because we can't pay them a decent wage, not enough to even make a living, not enough to even buy a home, an average home, a decent home to live in? Something very wrong in all that. Something very wrong in all that. And that all goes back to that phrase by Franklin Roosevelt. I told you, we don't measure progress by how well we take care of those who have too much. But rather, we do measure progress by how well we take care of those who have too little. And I submit to you, we're not taking very good care of a lot of those people right now. Starts right in your own backyard. Starts right here where I live. See it every day. We're going to be right back. Don't go anywhere.
They're the great deceivers. They'll fool you any way they can. They'll take away your rights, then call you an evil man.
Oh, 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 oh. Great deceivers. Whoa.
Great deceivers.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Great deceivers.
They said they had compassion. They gave you a ration. The Bill of Rights they're bashing. Your check they be cashing. Ha ha! They fooled you again. It's a faith-based disgrace they got in place. Woo-hoo. And the planet, they're destroying it. Well, I hope you're enjoying it.
Ha ha! Whoa, 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 whoa. Great deceivers.
Great deceivers.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Great deceivers. Whoa.
They say they trusted the people. Got you under the steeple. Now like a boll weevil, you in the axis of evil. Ha, ha, ha. Woo. It's H.B. Barnum and Bush. Never give a sucker an even break. Even you can be a fake. How much more of this can you take before you break? Before you break?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Great deceivers. Whoa.
Great deceivers.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Great deceivers. Whoa.
I trust people. I don't trust the federal government. It's going to be one of the things you hear today. I don't want the federal government making decisions on behalf of everybody. It needs somebody in office to tell the truth. I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat. What I care about is, can we work together? I trust people. I don't trust the federal government. I trust people. I don't trust the federal government.
Oh, 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 oh. Great deceivers, whoa.
Great deceivers,
whoa, whoa, whoa. Great deceivers, whoa.
You need somebody in office who'll tell the truth. I trust people, I don't trust the federal government. It needs somebody in office who'll tell the truth. I trust people. I don't
oh,
trust
yeah,
the federal
great
government.
Deceiver. George Bush.
It needs somebody in office who'll tell the truth.
George.
It needs somebody in office who'll tell the truth. Tell the truth.
Tell the truth. See how that word just rolled off his tongue?
Tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
George, that's something I don't think your mama taught you how to do. I don't think you know how to tell the truth. I really don't. It's fascinating to me that people in this administration have gotten away with what they have. And I told myself I wasn't going to do this today. I haven't bashed them too much, have I? I've bashed Democrats more than anybody else today. More than anybody. What say you?
You promised you weren't going to do it, but what the heck? You know, it's a radio show. We can even swear on here, can't we? We're on the internet, aren't we?
Well, you can, but I'm just admiring this email again. You know, what? I'm going to answer this.
Are you going to answer this?
Yeah. I mean, I like this. I'm going to save this as a classic.
You know, when you reply to him, say, thank you very effing much. That's what I would say.
You effing liar. We got rid of you once, but just like cockroaches and rats, you keep coming back. That brings tears.
Tears of joy.
I'm
tears
so proud of him, knowing how to write the very best.
Did he spell effing right?
Yeah, you can usually get that one right.
Oh, my.
Almost always get that one right. Yes, definitely.
Well, Jim, as you know, I'm always looking online to see what's going on out here. Yeah. You know, I found a very interesting article I think you would appreciate here. I'm looking at a little interesting website called The Onion, and I find some interesting tidbits on here. They're not always.
What's it called?
It's called The Onion. Some aren't always real, some are fake, some are hoaxes, but they do produce valid news articles. You just have to dig in there and find them. And they have this interesting Gallup-Harris interactive poll that was released today. It was done out of Chicago, but says 86% of the poll respondents were in favor of discontinuing our nation. Of all things, breaking the nation up. And the most frequently cited reasons were the first and foremost was a lack of significant results from our current democratic process. 36% of the people spoke on that. And other common ones, a dissatisfaction with customer service and exhaustion were on the list.
Wait a minute. They're unhappy with customer service?
No, yes.
I'm unhappy with customer service.
Right, yeah.
But I must say, as I was standing in line at Big Buy to return something for an hour and 45 minutes or whatever it was.
You weren't thinking of discontinuing the nation because of it. No,
it never occurred to me.
But I think it's probably a combination of so many things going on in our society that people are just unhappy with. And they feel like the entire process has let them down from start to finish, whether it's our elected officials in office, whether it's our corporations and how they conduct themselves, which, as you and I well know, a lot of people associate with politics because they're in bed together so deep. And they kind of associate those two things together as one shaking the other's hand or greasing the other's palm, and the problems in one are the problems of the other. And
customer service. I can come up with a segue for that because, you know, customer service, how do you like it when you call some big company? I'm not talking some mall call.
Oh, God.
Your call is very important to us.
Oh, I just experienced
this. You know the reason you're waiting is because they don't have enough people to hire on the other end, and the reason they don't have enough people because they want to give the stockholders more money, and so they've got two people doing the work of 47.
Right.
So that kind of does segue
Just this week, I had that exact same thing. I would call, I got put on hold, was told 4.5 minutes later, and I counted. It was 21 minutes before I got a live person on the phone.
Let me tell you. I'll just tell you a quick story. I was subscribing to a local service, and next month I'll tell you who it was and give you their phone number.
All right.
If this doesn't pan out. But I subscribed to a local service that I discontinued back on October the 25th, and I was paid up. Well, in November, I got a bill for another month, and I called them and waited on the line. You know, call's important to us. Please, for quality assurance, this call may be recorded. And so I waited, and I got on and said, you know, I explained the whole thing. I canceled your service last month. Oh, I'm very sorry. I'll take care of it. All right. So in December, I got another bill for November and December.
Ugh.
And I called them. Your call is important to us. Please. And so I went through the whole thing again, waiting 20, 30 minutes.
Right.
Oh, we're really sorry, Mr. James. We'll get that taken care of right away. January, February, and March. Each month, I got another bill from them. And each month, I called them. And each month, they told me they had taken care of it. Now, yesterday... No, it was Friday. Friday, I spent an hour and 45 minutes on the phone with them.
Oh, my God.
And they say they really do have it finished this time. But if
they
don't.
You've heard this before.
If they don't, I'm going to tell them who it is and give them their phone number the next time. But customer service, oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord. I don't know if I'd want to discontinue my country over it, though. I mean, that's pretty extreme.
No, that never popped in my mind. That worries me a little bit.
Yeah, it was, according to the poll, it was done predominantly in the Chicago area. And maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe the Chicago Bear fans are just unhappy, and they, or the Cubs fans. Who knows? But it was done in Chicago. And
all right, I'm going to do something right now that a broadcaster should never, ever do.
Uh-oh.
You would think after a while we'd learn lessons, we wouldn't do certain things over again. But I'm going to do something right now a guy should never do. Today was our first program in the new studio. And we weren't exactly sure what we were going to do to present this program, what direction we thought it was going to take. We had some phone problems today, and we had little glitches here and there. And a lot of pros will tell you, well, don't ever talk about that. Don't ever admit to heard it.
Hey, yeah, I mean, why not?
You heard it. It happened.
Yeah. What can you do about it?
So we're a couple of goofs. We messed it up a little bit, all right, especially me on the news thing. I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear from you what you like, what you didn't like, and oh, please be gentle. I'd like to hear what you liked and didn't like about the program today and how you think we can make it better for you, because we want to please you, because your call is important to us.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Every single one is. Absolutely. And please give me some feedback on stories you would like. Would you like more humor? Would you like more? It's very easy for me to put together a newscast that includes national weather. If you're a traveler and you listen on your laptop, say, in an airplane, and you want to know what to expect and you just want to sit back and listen, please feel free to email us and let me know the direction of my newscast, because I can build a newscast around very many things.
All right, now he thinks he is Walter Cronkite.
Oh, yes,
all right.
I am.
Thank you, Ryan. Hey, it's been a fun day today, our first show. Awfully glad to have you along with us. Once again, I want to thank some people. I want to thank Bob Ladd, our engineer, and Sean, who put in the phones for us. And the phone problem wasn't his fault. It's a piece of equipment needs to be tweaked a little bit. Ben Birch, Ben's a stand-up guy. WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can go there to listen to the program. You can go there and get to the archives. You can even get a podcast from there, I understand. Bob Kincaid at Head On Radio. Bob did a great job of giving us technical advice. Greg, if you need web design, let me tell you, talk to Greg at www.graybearddesign.com, and he'll do a wonderful job for you. He's in the process of redoing our website. The only thing he put up on there right now is the phone numbers and so forth, and I don't think he wanted to put his name on until he designs it and has it the way he wants it to be. And believe me, he does some fabulous web work. So I'll wanted to let you know about that as well. Awfully glad to have had you with us today. Great to hear your phone calls. Great to hear your voices. I want you to know that we appreciate our listeners very, very much. You're very, very important to us, and we will listen to you. We won't record your calls, though. I don't think you might be able to hear them on the archive, though. But thanks ever so much for listening to Guy James' show today. And always remember, you heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.